Back in 2003, NASA sent a probe to roll around on the surface of Mars. The scientists anticipated that the probe would last for about 9 months before something happened to it. It survived for 15 years, rolling around on that barren surface of that planet and sending messages back to us. But just recently, it finally died. And I don't know if you heard in the news, but these were the last words of that Martian probe. And it was only the size of a golf cart. Brave little thing. Its last message to Earth was this: my battery is running very low. It's getting dark. My battery is running very low. It's getting dark. It's funny, my brain knows that this was a machine talking, but I still feel sorry for it. Talk about being lonely. Woo-wee. Total isolation. Total darkness. Now that is death. We are deep into the season of Epiphany. And as I've reminded you, the word epiphany means showing. So Jesus is showing us who he is in various ways, week after week. And in today's gospel, we hear one of the most famous speeches that Jesus has ever given us. You all know it, the Beatitudes, we call it. I think most people know some of the words. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the hungry. Blessed are those who mourn. Many Christians are familiar with the language, but very few of us really understand what it means. You see, in the history of our understanding of God, before Jesus, it was always assumed that if you were rich and healthy, God was happy with you. And if you were sick and poor, God was punishing you. I think most of us, in some very basic and primal level, still sort of think that. You know, we get really sick, and I know one of the first instincts I have is to always say, God, why are you doing this to me? What did I do wrong? So that kind of Old Testament understanding of God is very natural to us. It's instinct, really. But Jesus, in this talk, turns everything upside down. He says that we're blessed when we're poor. He says we're blessed when we're hungry. We're blessed when the people we love die and we're mourning. And how does that make any sense at all? And if that's the case, I don't know if I want to be blessed, do you? I think what Jesus was trying to tell us about was grace. Now, grace is a really amazing and difficult concept to understand. It is a quality that only God has. Human beings don't have it. We can be graceful, but we don't possess grace. That's God. And I'll tell you the truth. For many years, I didn't think much about the word grace. I thought it was one of those schmarmy, sweet, saccharine Christian terms, you know, like piety and kindness, and it was like Hallmark card kind of stuff. It had no substance. I remember years ago, after my father-in-law died, my father-in-law was a Methodist pastor who had a huge church in Memphis, Tennessee. And right after he died, a year or so later, one of the Sunday school classes in his church invited me to come and talk to them. I don't even remember what I talked about, but I lectured for a little bit, and then I said, "Does anyone have any questions?" And I will never forget, there was an elderly man who raised his hand, and he said, "Kate, what do you think about grace?" And I thought, oh no, is this some Methodist thing? Because the truth was, I didn't think anything about grace. I hadn't thought about grace. I have no idea what I said in response, but I'll never forget that question and realizing I don't know what grace is. I better try to figure that out. The best way that I can begin to explain to you what grace really is through a metaphor. There is a German man who originally began his career in the forests by cutting down trees to provide labor and lumber for lumber companies. Gradually, though, he began to fall in love with the forest. And he went back to school and studied and became an arborist. His name is Peter Wohlleben. Peter has written a book that is a bestseller all over the world now. It's called The Hidden Life of Trees. The Hidden Life of Trees. Once Peter began studying forests, he began to realize that these trees talk to one another. They have their own language. They also care for one another. If a tree is thirsty, the other trees will share water with it through this deep interwoven root system that runs through the soil of the forest. If an animal starts eating or insects start eating leaves on a tree, they will secrete toxins and aromas. The other trees can sense the danger. If a tree is sick, the other trees will send nutrients to the sick tree through the root system and the soil. It's as if the entire forest is interconnected underneath the earth. And if you cut down one tree, it affects them all. But the thing is, the trees wouldn't use this root system. They wouldn't really know about it unless one of them became thirsty or another one of them became ill. Because it's in that crisis that they recognize their connectedness. A few years ago, I went to the deathbed of a woman who was 83. And she had lived one of the most comfortable and conflict-free lives I had ever seen. She was independently wealthy. She married a very good and kind man, and they were married for many years. They had two healthy children. And it wasn't till she was 83 that she began to wonder about God. So she called me to her bedside, and I distinctly remember her saying, "So do you really believe in God and in something after this life?" And I said, "Well, yeah." And she said, "You're so young. How long have you been thinking about this stuff?" I said, "Well, most of my life." "Really? I'm just beginning to wonder about it now," she said. And I thought to myself, "It's about time." But she was willing to put her trust in the Lord, and I baptized her, and she died. And it reminded me of that parable of the laborers in the vineyard, you know, the guys that get there at the last minute but still get paid for the whole day. I mean, this woman made it right under the wire. But she would not have made it, she would not have learned about God if her body hadn't started falling apart. If she hadn't realized that she was dying and there was nothing she could do to change that. It was the sickness, the suffering, and the aging that caused her to wake up. It's strange how this life works, but often it is our pain, our suffering, our hunger, our thirst, our mourning, our sickness that cause us to say, "Hey God, are you really there?" And to look deeper for that grace, that interconnectedness, that way that God has been lifting us up and holding us for all of our lives, but we wouldn't know it if we didn't fall. We cannot know that God holds us if we don't fall down. We cannot know how helpless and fragile and precious and blessed we are if we don't learn about our fragility by suffering. Just like that tree would never know that it's not alone if it did get thirsty or sick and start being fed through the soil by all the trees around it. Grace is that underlying interconnectedness that is God, that is Christ Himself. It runs throughout all of us and it holds you. In the palm of God's hand, you are held. But ironically, we don't figure that out unless we suffer. It is only through pain that we wake up to who we are and to whose we are. You are not alone. You are not like that Martian probe wandering around on the surface of Mars and it's getting dark. You are connected with others who love God, with people who have died, with angels, and with Christ Himself. You are connected in a mysterious thing that is called the body of Christ that holds you and that will never let you go. And the reason why we're blessed when we struggle is because it causes us to look deeper, to see the truth, and to recognize God's grace. Amen.